You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodburn Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that would take our manager in a fight over anyone else's. I am Graham Brown and I am joined today by Kieran Doody.
Hi Graham, how are you?
Yeah, I'm brilliant, thank you. So today, of course, is all about the big man, Darren Moore. We were at his press conference unveiling, so what we thought we'd do today is talk through the key points from there. We'll discuss the potential machinations, where that leaves Albion. We're going to bring you all the audio, all the key moments from there. And we're also going to talk the coverage of the unveiling of Darren Moore, ask some questions about the future of Kieran Gibbs. We're also going to talk about that, speaking to West Bromwich Albion reporter Paul Seward about what he understands as the latest of that. I think probably most people listening, Kieran... wavered a little bit towards the end of the season, but most people listening would be probably happy to sort of park the left back problem and move on to something else. I know whether that would be your position, I guess, Kieran. You're willing to stay, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. I think it took us that long to find a left back in the first place. You don't want to let him go after 12 months, do you?
No, I'd say exactly the same. I mean, I've got an awful lot of time for him, and I actually think Gibbs will come into his own in a team that has more of the ball. I think the problem with Gibbs is he was trying to kind of get his head around the fact that, you know, a left back for the Albion's job is to stay behind the centre right, to behind the halfway line and make sure that Ahmed Agassi does his job brilliantly.
Yeah, a bit different to his time at Arsenal anyway.
Yes, and I'd imagine it's probably going to be more reminiscent of that next season, or at least you'd kind of hope. Well, so let's get into this. First of all, let's start off with Darren Moore talking about the issue of his backroom team. Obviously, he's been already been assisted by Jimmy Sheehan and Neil Cutler, and the question over the assistant head coach.
Yeah, I know there's still an addition of backroom team staff to come in, but at the moment I'm staying with James Sheehan and Neil Cutler. And then, of course, in due course, there'll be another member added to the team.
What sort of role will they be playing? Can you say who they'll... I presume you can't give us a name yet. But...
No, I can't give you the name yet, but the person will be the assistant head coach.
So, what are your thoughts on this? I've got a very, very specific view in mind of what I think Darren Moore's assistant head coach is. What do you think? A lot of people have been talking about Paul Robinson.
Well, yeah, to be honest, if you were going to... He'd be the first thought, just because, you know, they're all teammates. He's just retired after working on his coaching part-time at Blues. And he's obviously looking for something to do. But the problem is, he's going to need experience. So you can't have someone in the same boat as him as his assistant. You're going to have someone that's been there and done it. Who that is, you have no idea, do you? Because there's nothing to base your opinion on, because we haven't seen Darren Moore do anything like this before, so
yeah,
it could go anywhere.
No, I mean, I think it's really important that it's very, very structured how they do this. So it's worth saying that, I mean, as is often the case with a weekly podcast, it's quite possible that time will be against us, and by the time you listen to this, you already know who it is. We have incidentally no idea whatsoever. My view on it is that it's absolutely imperative that it's someone that is dripping with experience. I mean, while it would never be, my number one choice would be Gary Megson, but I'd imagine it's probably more likely that Mark Jenkins would employ Princess Diana than Gary Megson. So I think that's highly, highly unlikely. But I think someone who, when it comes to it, when it all goes wrong, as it will at some point, has known things go wrong before. The issue with Darren Moore is he's had six games his managerial career, and they've all gone great.
To be honest, his under-23 career didn't really have a bad patch either. Since him and Shan were in charge of it. So
what do you do? What does he do when, you know, you've lost three games in a row in the Championship, which is going to happen? You know, if you look at the kind of history of all the other clubs that have gone down, Middlesbrough this season, Villa last season, invariably, no matter how much you spend, it takes sometimes to acclimatise and things can go wrong. And no one can tell me that Darren Moore knows the answer to that. When it's happening, when everyone's low, when morale's low, when everyone feels like they don't know their position, it needs someone that's dealt with that before, that's seen a three game losing streak come about and known what to do with it. So I mean, it is, you could pick any name out of the hat, but I would like it to be a name that I would recognise. Not recognised because they've managed England before or anything, but someone who's been around the game for long enough that they know the answers. They need street smarts, don't they? I think that's the thing.
Yeah, I think with Big Dave as well, he's obviously got, there's so much love for him in the game. He could pick the phone up to anyone, whoever the assistant ends up being.
Yeah.
He could still speak to past managers, people that he's met along the way, and they'd be happy to help him. So I think it's got to happen. We are going to have a bad run next season. And I think he seems really laid back. I don't think it'd affect him that much. I think he's got enough friends in the game to help him through it.
Yeah.
Which is probably what the club are thinking as well.
It's funny, when we've all had our say on Darren Moore on this show, I'm still to be convinced. I still think it's a really, really kind of challenging job. But I think, you know, the head coach is a figurehead for everything that's behind it. And I think he's... I'm glad he's been given that opportunity as a figurehead, but we need a machine that knows how to respond to it. And, you know, we know very little about Terenio, so maybe he's kind of part of that, but fundamentally they're going to need... I would contest they need more than... And Paul Robertson, I'd rule out. Darren Moore, Paul Robertson, Jimmy Shan and Neil Cutler might all be very, very, very smart people, but they do not have the necessary past history to be able to make this happen. And I think that where I'd point is, I think Stoke have made a terrific... I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think Gary Rowett is Mr. Loyal, but it's a very, very, very astute signing. You know, he's a man who absolutely knows that place. He absolutely knows his targets. I'd imagine he absolutely knows his back room. Darren starts at a significant disadvantage to him, I would say.
Well, of course he is. It's his first job. Is it a disadvantage to anyone, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. We'll see, guys. I mean, things like we've talked about it before. If he could be the man to make some of our better players stay, then it could be an absolutely genius appointment. I guess the next thing along it is transfers. So I don't know that we necessarily moved Darren from his chair on transfers, but Mark Jenkins did talk about it. So this is what he had to say.
We know player brought in without Darren saying yes to that. There's, you know, that's always been the case when I've been the chief executive here. There's no point bringing players here that Darren doesn't want, because they're simply not, they won't play. It's just pointless. So Darren will have a key part in the recruitment process.
And do you know yet what his budget will be?
It will be obviously a very strong budget, because obviously we've just been relegated from the Premier League. But as I've always said, it's not how much you spend, it's what you spend it on. I think clearly the last 12 months have demonstrated that, in that the club have probably misspent in areas. Going forward, we just need to work harder on our recruitment, work harder on many areas of the business, and take the club forward in that way.
Okay, so we've talked about it a lot before, that it's going to be probably a period like no other at Albion. Do you feel more confident about what this close season is going to look like, with having heard from Jenkins there?
Yeah, I do like the idea that he has the final say, because my worry was he was in as a coach. He was going to be given players to work with, and he had no say on who they were. It wouldn't have been his team.
Yeah,
I think that is assuring that Jenkins has said he has the final say. But then again, does Darren Moore know the type of players he needs? Because he hasn't had to build a team to gain promotion from the Championship before, has he?
Do you know, if I had to guess, I would say that that's just football rhetoric, that Darren Moore has a say, but I suppose he might have a kind of a right of veto or anything, but I mean, personally, it's another thing I would say is Albion have had in the past a really, really strong recruitment team. You know, let's say we go back to the time when it was Dan Ashworth and Roberto Di Matteo. Personally, I'd have wanted Dan Ashworth to have the final say on signings. He knows players better than he does, and he's in the club for the kind of longer term than he has. I'm not that aerated really about whether or not Darren Moore is or isn't the the vanguard between signing a player. And I think it's imperative, as you say, there's no point in signing a player ain't going to pick. But you know, he's made a success so far in his career of playing players, none of whom he's signed. I think the most important thing is they get the right sort of player in and they move things. But the pace is the main thing. You know, I was talking to someone the other day. He was hoping that, you know, this might be the impetus to keep Craig Dawson. I find it hard to believe that will be the case. I think if his agent went to the trouble of negotiating a clause in the first place, if we're already talking about Palace and Burnley and so on, I would imagine even if Albion, as they probably will go back and say, we'll maintain your Premier League pay, he'll still say no, I'd guess.
Well, yeah, but I think everyone is a bit more optimistic that players will stay because he's got the job, so he clearly does have a relationship with them. But then the other issue is, if you don't know Darren Moore and you're moving from another country, how does he stand out from other managers to sign a player? But he's a relatively unknown, isn't he, really, outside of these parts? So that's the other concern. And I mean, if you can't keep hold of the players that we want to keep, then it's a case of how is he going to entice players that we need to replace them?
To be honest, I actually think at Championship level, I mean, I think it's important that they are working in the international market. And the advantage in the international market is they wouldn't know either way, really. That what Albion have in the international market as compared to no one but three or four teams in the Championship is money. Albion can pay players £40,000 a week next season. They might need I would imagine they'll have contracts that flex down as the parachute payments go down. I'd imagine they have contracts that say if we don't get promoted this season, then you can go for X amount. But fundamentally, Albion can pay more than all but... We're still going to be in the top 40 teams in the world for budget, realistically. So with that in mind, they're going to be able to kind of bring people in. But to be honest, I mean, I noticed, forgive me because I don't know his name, but they were linked with this kid from Fleetwood Town, and I actually think I'd be glad to hear that. I would think that Moura would principally want kind of honest brokers, really. You know, I mean, it sounds a little bit Tony Pulis-ish to this, but he would. I can see him wanting established British players who've played at lower levels before to supplement what we already have, I guess.
I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw under Gary Megson as well. Just, you know, they're not going to be big names. They're going to be players that you know are going to work hard. I mean, he's already said he wants players that are prepared to dig deep. It's not all about talent. So I do think we are going to see a bit of a step back in time next season, and it's not going to be it's not going to be as bad as Pulis, I don't think, but at the same time, it's not going to be expansive attacking football like a lot of people seem to expect.
No, and that ain't the way you get at the Championship. You know, I talked to Steve Bruce about that. The term I don't want to hear this summer is marquee signing. I think if Darren wants to move in the direction of kind of replicating a Gary Megson, but I would also say a Sean Dyche approach of sign the right people, the right kind of people, rather than sign the right kind of player. I actually would, I would agree with that. I think it's interesting how an Italian football director that's come via Turkey fits into that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's as it happens, he probably knows less about the personalities of players in English football than you and I do, I'd guess.
Well, yeah, by the looks of it, I don't really. That still confuses me. That does. I don't understand why he's there. Because it's a 6-month contract for one.
Yeah.
So how is he going to, after the initial impact he makes this summer, or works towards, he has no...
You have to factor in desperation. So I don't know, I think if Jersey might know this better than I, but did they know they were going to lose Garlick when they sacked Hammond? You know, essentially, in Britain, there are only, I'd say a third of the specialist technical directors in Britain have been at Albion at some stage. You know, there aren't a lot. You know, it was always kind of a given that Nick Hammond would come from Reading to Albion because we were the only club that really worked that way. And I'd imagine there might have been a degree of desperation about that recruitment because they've lost their the two people who are supposed to be out there negotiating players, running their scouting networks and so on. So they kind of had to do something. I don't know. I really hope it kind of works out for the best. And no one possibly can know. At least he comes with a comedy moustache, I guess.
And glasses.
Yeah, exactly. So the next thing we'll go on to, Darren Moore. We did get to Darren Moore to move a little bit on style of play.
The fans can expect, I mean, as I said about the league has many, many different challenges, many, many different hurdles. And, you know, they'll see a team that when it's needed to play football, will play football and compete against the very, very best or all teams in the division. But also there'll be a team that's willing to sort of fight and scrap for every ball, because there's those challenges ahead in the season as well. So there's many, many different challenges, but we've got to create a team here at West Brom that when those challenges come, we're well prepared for it and looking forward to those challenges.
Darren, what's your coaching philosophy?
My coaching philosophy is to build a team that enjoys working hard football, playing, like I said, attractive football when it's needed to be, but also a team that has the different dimensions to it that, depending on what hurdles that this championship has to throw up at it, has the qualities to deal with it mentally, physically, as well as being good, astute players.
Okay, so Kieran, as the, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah, we've got this kind of we're in this post Pulis era. I mean, I would always make the case that there isn't another equivalent of Pulis. People lumping him with Sam Allardyce and Sean Dyche and so on, when actually he was far, far, far more aggressive than they are. But there remains this concern amongst Albion fans that whoever the next manager is, and particularly Darren Moore, is going to return to those to that kind of way of thinking. Are you one of those fans? Has he appeased you? Where do you stand on that and style of play?
See, I don't think we can base him on them six games, just because, you know, it was horses for courses, really. He knew, the reason it didn't work under Pardew is Pardew was trying to be the opposite to Pulis, and he couldn't be because it was a Pulis side that were used to playing a certain way. Darren Moore come in, and he knew that if he went back to basics, they'd pick up results, and that's what he's done. I do think that he said there that, you know, he wants a team that can play that way, but he also wants a team that can, you know, create and play well. You know, to be honest, I don't think we have any idea what his style of play is or philosophy is yet.
No.
Until we've seen it.
One thing, a little thing I would say is that style of play wasn't reminiscent of the under-23 style of play.
Well.
You know, it's nothing like the chalk and cheese, weren't they? So you can jump to that conclusion. I mean, would you take it's a bit loaded, this, really, but, you know, Gary Megson got us up winning 1-0 and stopping the opposition from scoring and having bigger players than they did, and having players who know their position and shouting at players who weren't in their position. Would you take that again?
100%. It's how you get out of the league, isn't it? I mean, we look at Wolves, they were a bit of a one-off, I'd say. If you look at the promoted teams, the way they've done it, even Cardiff coming in second, if Villa win on Saturday, they've done the same thing. You make yourself hard to beat. The league has changed a lot since we were last in it, but the fundamentals are still the same. You have to be strong from the back, and then work from there. That's the only way you're going to get out of the league. So
yeah, and I'd agree. And to be honest, I think fans need saving from themselves. Really, this is more about eras than it is about style of play. No one was really criticising Tony Pulis' style of play when we were finishing eighth. It's what fans want to see is you outperform the expectation. I think the big concern this, and I fear I say this every week, is that the expectation is higher than the reality now. If I had to guess, we finish bottom half next year. But the expectation, and probably even my expectation, knowing this fact, is that it's failure if they don't get into the playoffs. It's such a huge turnaround that it's just no kind of given, and that for me is why, just to round up on Darren Moore, he's probably got a bit of a poison chalice, really.
That's what worries me. I think there's this, for some reason, we've got this attitude amongst fans at the minute that we're this pillar of expansive football, and that's exactly what we're going to get now Pulis has gone. We're not at all. If you look back through the decades, I mean, 70s and 80s, a year with Tony Mowbray. Other than that, I've always seen the same style of football since I've been watching it. I'm not sure about you.
Well,
it's very similar.
Megson has been prevailing on Albion ever since he was there, really. He set a culture which I think flowed up to Peace and Jenkins about signing, again, the right kind of personalities. I mean, Albion have signed a lot of 6'4" plus players, you know, even kind of before Pulis came. And you know, there are teams in this era that are your kind of Pulis and Allardyce sort of player teams, and we are one of them. And I mean, it chimes, doesn't it? Really, Albion are a gritty working class team, and for me, that kind of goes next to it. And my favourite moments of supporting the Albion were often when they didn't play very good football.
Definitely.
Yeah, under Gary Megson, the great escape, blah 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 blah. He wasn't. That it was about overperformance. It was about a group of players playing for the shirt and overperforming. And just to wrap up a demo, I think that's exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. I think we will as well.
So, just to the final thing you said, I like from the coverage that came out from the Darren Moore unveiling, was talk about Kieran Gibbs. He didn't actually talk about him, but there's been some sort of chatter in the background. So, I had a chat earlier on with Paul Seward, who is the man that we sent to the Darren Moore unveiling. So I started off talking to him about how he found Darren Moore and where it's coming from. But he also talks about what the latest is with Kieran Gibbs as he understands it. Just finally, we also talked about stage standing. It's had we've seen some progress in the last 24 hours before recording this. So this is what Paul Seward had to say about that. Chatter about in what's... Okay, so I'm on with Paul Seward now, who's our man that actually went to the Darren Moore unveiling. So, Paul, talks about how did you find him?
Hi, Graham. Definitely a whole lot more relaxed, I think it'd be fair to say. And he was obviously put in a very delicate position as caretaker and couldn't really gain anything from being too honest during that six-game run. So it's his kind of mantra of one game at a time, you know, we, not me, and you know, all those things, and you know, obviously non-committal when he talked about wanting the job or his future in that respect. You know, he was able to flesh out a lot more things and answer a bit more honestly, really. And it was nice to see, really, and it was nice to see him certainly a lot more relaxed, having, you know, finally got the nod from the board.
What do you think the key moments were in terms of his press conference? Do you think he kind of gave away anything particularly interesting for you?
I suppose he was kind of obviously asked about how he can be a role model for other young coaches, but of course specifically other young black coaches, you know, with so few in the game and not at all represented accurately. So he kind of gave some nice answers on that, but I think he was also quite telling what he said about transfers and certainly what Chief Executive Mark Jenkins said is that it's Darren that will take a lead on that, and no player will join the club without kind of Darren say so. So he will have a very, very big part to play on recruitment, along with the technical consultant Giuliano Tiranio.
I think that's an interesting area, really. I kind of got a sense coming out of it that Albion aren't going to Albion this. They're going to spend big this summer. Am I getting too carried away there? What do you reckon to that end?
I suppose it's all relative. They will have a budget that is very competitive in the realms of the Championship. I think that's fair to say. And you know, Jenkins has said a strong budget, I think, were his words. Whether that is a strong budget, depending on what the club receives for the likes of Solomon Rondon and Nasser Chadli and players that will, you know, naturally attract big fees and kind of reinvest in that. Or whether or not there's actually a kitty in addition to cash that comes into the club. I mean, that kind of remains to be seen. You know, Jenkins is a spend what you earn kind of guy, isn't he? So, but I think they will have enough cash available to really have a good go at assembling a squad that is certainly capable of top six, you would imagine.
And on that line, one of the names that's been talked about a lot in the past week is Kieran Gibbs. It seems, you know, there's going to be a massive kind of outflow of players and you know, anyone who's been in any way useful will be useful to keep him around. What's your understanding of the latest with Kieran Gibbs?
Yeah, I'm hearing kind of whispers that kind of align with Gibbs's kind of comments recently of kind of letting the fans down and things that, and the players didn't do enough, that Gibbs will kind of stay and lead the fight, or at least play a part in Albion's fight to get back into the Premier League. Obviously Ben Foster and Chris Brunt have spoken publicly about committing their future, and we do understand that Gibbs could also be joining them, but it's all very bit vague at the moment, and you've got to remember as well, Kieran Gibbs was pretty much a Watford player last summer and changed his mind at the very last minute to join Albion. I think a
obviously had agreed, been agreed, hadn't it, between Arsenal and Wolves, and they were just discussing personal terms, and Albion nicked him from right under Watford's nose. So you can never say never in football, but it does seem as though Gibbs could be staying on to give promotion a crack at the Baggies.
I think that'd be a popular move. So just finally, while I've got you, I mean, safe standing's an issue that's really of interest to Albion fans. I think there's been some progress, hasn't there? What's the latest with that?
Yes, Damien Collins, the Minister for Culture, Media and Sport, has moved things on quite dramatically, really. He spoke last night about lifting the blanket ban on standing in all stadia, not just tiers beneath the Premier League and the Championship. So, and kind of offering the choice to individual clubs and their chairman and support base, which is really is a massive step forward. And obviously, of course, West Brom have been a leader in this field. They've offered their services as a pilot scheme for, you know, safe standing potentially in the Smethwick end, and a campaign to get signatures for the matter to be discussed in Parliament was kind of gathered momentum after a rejection to West Brom on that pilot scheme. So West Brom definitely been in the forefront in this matter, and it does seem like there's big momentum now towards a change, which it seems that a lot of fans want. And I do think there's a debate in Parliament now due in June the 25th, I believe.
That sounds like massive progress. Paul, thank you ever so much for joining us again this week. Always great to have you on.
Great. No, cheers, Glenn.
Okay, that's great. Thank you to Paul for that. It would be remiss of me to let another Woodman Corner go without our regular feature of all the things we love about Alan Pardew. Okay, more of that next week. And thank you for joining us again this week on Woodman Corner. Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks for having me again.
And we'll obviously be we'll be right back at you as soon as Albion make any kind of major movements in the transfer market. We might come at you with a breakout podcast. But if not, see you next Thursday.